I like how the snow is actually getting past our windscreen and into between the windows.
Yeah, because that's not scary at all.
That's not. Listen, this place is solid footing. Welcome to the Soderstrom Bubble. I'm Scotty Waz. That's Jen, the NHL History Girl. It's Snow Day Edition for you.
For me.
I still have to go to work tonight. Even though everything in our hospital chain was closed, whatever. We're essential service. Lottie Dottie, who likes to potty. This week, we'll talk about some things, an event that happened this past week. We'll talk about a player who was instrumental in the olden days. And then we'll talk about whose retired number is it anyway, after the kerfuffle that was Whalers Night in Raleigh. So, all of that. But before we get to the main dish, we got to give you some appetizers. So the historical thing of the week, which could be considered, which will be kind of next week's too, because I don't know when we're doing a show. It's really when we feel like it.
Yeah, holidays mess everything up.
Yeah.
So.
Like, we could have done something on Tuesday, but then people wouldn't listen to it, and, like, they listen to it anyway. what is the event of the week?
December 31st, 1988, Mario Lemieux became the only player in NHL history to score 5 goals 5 different ways in a single game.
So even strength, power play, shorthanded, penalty shot, and empty net, which, wow.
Yes.
They score 5 goals alone. I mean, Patrick Laine did this year.
Yeah.
Won the guy $1 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that, like, in general, to do
it... It's not common.
No, it's not common. And to do it that way, much, much less... Though it is the 80s, the wildfire 80s, the fact that it didn't happen more, I guess, maybe. But, I guess the series of events, what was the backdrop? What was that? What were we doing here?
It was... Let me see. And of course, I touched the screen in the wrong spot.
Don't touch the screen. You have a mouse pad for that.
Yeah, it was a New Year's Eve game. And he scored the 5 goals 5 different ways in this order. Even strength, power play, shorthanded, penalty shot, and then empty net. And it was voted the greatest moment in NHL history. When they did that NHL 100 thing in Ottawa, so that is what it is for whatever it's worth. I don't know. Just greatest moment.
Yeah, that's kind of bizarre, but whatever.
Yeah. He finished the game with 8 points. And he is the only player, along with Gretzky, to reach 8 points in a game, in a season, multiple times.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, that was... the video is all over YouTube, if you want to watch it. So, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, recap each and every goal, but the video, just Google.
But you can set the scene. New Jersey Devils, who, in their own right then, were starting to become a little bit of a thing. Starting to get out, kind of shed that Mickey Mouse
label. This is when they were starting to get pretty strong. This is when they were starting their ascent, I should say. So they're at the Civic Arena. He scored what they call a mundane even strength goal. So I don't know what that means for Mario Lemieux.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. And then so this is all in the first period. He scored at 4:17, and then a shorthanded at 7:50, and then a power play goal at 10:59.
So he had a hat trick in the first period?
Yes.
Jesus.
And then a penalty shot at 11:14 of the second. And then with 1 second remaining in the game, he got the hat trick.
That's kind of a hometown. Like, if this was in Jersey, they probably would have been like, nah, it didn't cross the line. Like, that would have been... Like, that's definitely a hometown little helper. That helped a little bit here. take a look, see here. Where was this? So yeah, five, he was on all eight goals too.
Yep.
So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was an 8-6 win. Sorry.
Chris Terreri getting the loss. Bob Save only getting the brunt of it though, letting in 5 goals on 15 shots. he saw 10 shots, so 5 goals and 10 shots, so 500 save percentage. Doing great for himself. And then the vaunted Chris Terreri goes in there as well. Tommy Barrasso was the goaltender of note. Only 829 for him. Man, the late 80s were garbage.
Yeah. If you go to, is it still PNC?
It's
Igloo, so.
Yeah, well, no, because that's torn down.
I know, but in my head, because.
Oh, yeah. It's PPG or Paints Arena.
Okay. If you go in there, I don't remember if I looked for it or not when we were there for the draft, but they at least used to have a display about it. Mm-hmm. And so they had like the 5 goals or the 5 pucks, mm-hmm. and then like the score sheet.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure those aren't the real 5 pucks though.
Probably not. They're probably the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, maybe when you get to like the other, well, I don't even think, because you got to figure they lost, they didn't keep every puck after every goal.
No, but they might have started figuring it out after the third goal or something, like, just,
well, yeah,
in case.
Yeah, after the first period, just like, hey, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe something special is happening
before
here.
Before this gets deflected into the crowd, let's take a look-see here.
Yeah.
There you go. 5-5. That's pretty vaunted accomplishment. So. Yeah.
Only one player's come close, and I want to say it was Iginla, but I'd have to double check. Mm. But I know there was a player who got 3 goals 3 different ways, and then I can't remember what happened from there.
So this was December, and he already by the end of the game had 43 goals in the year.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah. Welcome to the 80s.
All right. Ovechkin having 30 by the end of the year is pretty remarkable if he gets one more.
Yeah. It's pretty wild because back in the day, like, 40 goals in a season was, you
the
know,
norm.
The norm. Yeah. And now we're, like, happy if somebody gets 20.
So people in their contract have 25 as a high point.
Yep.
All right. So there's that. What about the player of the week?
The player of the week is Alec Connell. Goalie, Hall of Famer. He basically kind of stumbled into hockey by accident. He was a baseball player and a lacrosse player, and he didn't start playing hockey until World War I, and he couldn't skate, so he became the team's goaltender. Made sense, right?
Sure. Though your best skater should be your goaltender. People say there's that old adage that people say, yeah, maybe that's the thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, he caught on pretty quick, and he started playing with a couple of bigger teams in the Ontario region. Kingston, he played for Ottawa City, that sort of thing. He joined the Senators 24-25, helped them win a Stanley Cup in 26-27. He was a captain for a little while. He holds the record for longest shutout sequence, 461-29. That's 6 consecutive shutouts.
Mm.
He retired in 33. But because of that quirk that there were no backup goalies and you could pull a goalie out of the crowd in case of emergency rule that the NHL used to have, he played one game in 33-34 because he happened to be at a New York Americans game. He came out of retirement, played for the Montreal Maroons, won the cup with them again in 1935. He wanted to keep playing, but he had a government job that refused to give him the time off to play.
Mm-hmm.
So he retired again. another thing about him, his goals against average is the all-time record for goalies of his era, 1.91.
Which I wonder what that will fall for modern day.
Yeah. He was one of the first goalies to record a 30-win season. And he... what was I going to say? Oh, his nickname was the Ottawa Fireman, which is kind of odd because he was a government worker. He worked for the fire department. Yeah, that's what it was. He worked for the fire department. Mm-hmm. So, and then he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1958, but he died before the ceremony. He died like 2 weeks after his induction. Mm-hmm. So, and he was one of the last Maroons.
Alive.
Alive, yeah.
In existence.
Yeah.
In life. There we go. All right, so we got ourselves that.
Yeah. Let's see. He played 417 NHL games, won 193, lost 156, tied 67. 81 shutouts.
Impressive.
Yeah.
None of that recognized at all by the NHL.
Yeah, but then the other weird thing is, like, you look at the goals against, and it's kind of ridiculous, too. Like, 830.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, like, the way that era was, which is kind of weird because he has a 1.91.
Goals against.
But
yeah.
Yeah. So... And then for the playoffs, 21 games, 8-5-8, and 1.19.
This is bizarre, you can have a tie.
I know, right?
It's been a playoff.
Well, that's because they had like total goals.
Aggregate, yeah.
Yeah.
Which no, I'd probably bring that back. Why not? All right. Anything else on Alec Connolly we missed?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So. For the main event, this whole Whalers-Hurricanes thing. So Whalers night happened the 23rd of December, so a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Carolina Hurricanes dressed in all Kelly green, had the old logo. Pucky the Whale was there. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
People of nostalgia loved it. People in Raleigh were confused and kind of angered.
So are people in Hartford.
Sure, and people in Hartford butthurt too. Yeah. And the quote was, you know, it's great for everyone else around them, but us, it, you know, it actually means something, yeah. Which I can understand.
Yeah. It's like another writer said, you know, if the Nationals held an Expos night, I don't think I could take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's great for everyone else around, but.
It's like stabby stabby.
Sure. Exactly. The National fans I honestly don't think they know what the Expos are. And Montreal fans would be very stabby.
Yeah.
So, one of the points of contention was the wearing of a retired number. Dougie Hamilton wearing number 19, although the Hartford Whalers retired number 19 John McKenzie.
Yep, Pie.
Right. Jack Edwards, being the asshole that he is, went up in arms about it because he has nothing better to do and he likes to yell at clouds.
And he was friends with Pie.
Yeah. Well, guess what? He never played for the Hartford Whalers.
No, he didn't.
So here's the thing. Jack Edwards, get your story straight. He never played for the Hartford Whalers, was retired by the Hartford Whalers, but it's almost akin to just an honorary retiree, yeah. In all honesty. He was a New England Whaler, but he was never a Hartford Whaler. He never played in the NHL. For the Hartford Whalers. So, I mean, let's get that off our chest here. Mm-hmm. But it does bring about, what do you do for whose franchise is it anyway? Because when you look at retired numbers, our buddy Ole Kavasha, not the real one, I hope not.
That'd be a story.
That'd be fantastic if he listens to our show and lives in, like, Northern Virginia. A little primer about the Whalers. Retired numbers worn by Hurricanes 2. Number 2 was retired for Rick Lay. One player wore Glenn Wesley, who was bitching about the Whalers thing, too. So go suck an egg, Glenn Wesley. You wore a retired number when you went when you moved with the team, too. So you knew about this. He knew that the number two was retired. He decided, we're going to Carolina. I'll wear it. Number nine for Gordie Howe. No players have worn that one. I think that's kind of an unofficial one, which, all right, fine, whatever. And then we get to number 19. Eight players have worn it.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Emberson, Jeff O'Neill, Rob DeMaio, Chris Dingman, Radim Verbata, Trevor Letowski, Yuri Tolusti, and now Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah.
Of course, before the Dougie Hamilton, everything was in the Carmanos area, which he could whitewash the Whalers and he'd be fine with it.
He was more than happy to.
Right.
So.
And then number two was retired for Glenn Wesley, also, by the way, just FYI. As a Hurricane, they retired his number two in the rafters. And I'm pretty sure they don't have any of the other Whalers in the rafters of RBC or whatever the hell they call it now.
No.
I think it's PNC now. I don't know where the hell they play.
I think it's PNC.
Yeah. Everything's a bank now. So there's no Whalers ephemera to be had. Then we get into the Colorado Avalanche, who doesn't give two shits about the Quebec Nordiques.
And never will.
Okay brought us the retired numbers from the Nordiques. Number three has been worn by seven players. Number eight has been worn by eight players. Number 16 has been worn by 16 or by eight players. And number 26 has been worn by five players. The last one to be Paul Stastny, Peter Stastny's son.
Sure.
So, JC Tremblay, Mark Tardif, Michel Goulet, Papa. And Peter Stastny, and then everyone else was Avalanche. And then we get to the whole Coyotes, to Jets, to Thrashers, to everything like that. The Coyotes tried something with retiring numbers of the Jets players.
Yeah.
Like, and then having to unretire Bobby Hall so Brett Hall could wear it for nine games and then quit on life. they retired, like, Dale Hawerchuk's number in a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's closely knit to that, well, even though Anthony DeClaire and Martin Erat and other guys have worn it since.
They don't retire numbers. They have like a den of honor. So it's like the numbers are honored, but not taken out of circulation.
Sure. No, well, no, this franchise retired numbers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so I thought they moved them to the whole. Like,
they might have moved the Jets ones, but Bobby Hall one, I believe, is retired because they had to unretire it. So what's his nut could wear it?
Right.
But Hawerchuk is technically, I guess, maybe that's moved to the Den of Honor because, yeah, guys have been wearing it since 2000-something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Thomas Steen has had people wear his number, even though it was technically retired. But and then you look at the Winnipeg Jets. Luckily, the Winnipeg Jets now, what do you do? Do you retire Ilya Kovalchuk's number? Do you retire Danny Heatley's number? Because those franchise records moved to them from Winnipeg.
I think the only number they have retired is Danny Snyder's, right?
No.
No?
Nope. According to this, nothing.
Oh, I know his number's out of
out of circulation.
It's out of circulation. Yeah. I thought maybe they...
No, nothing hanging from the rafters.
Hmm.
So, people have worn it, and it wasn't even out of circulation. Because Petrovicki wore it, and Pascal Rioux wore it.
Hmm.
And now Brake Wheeler wears that number.
So I guess they've decided it's been long enough, and...
Hey, we're in Winnipeg. We don't care about the Thrashers.
They really don't.
No. And that also goes to account, like, why... Like, who's...
Like, I think if you were to have a Thrashers night in Winnipeg, you would probably have some sort of mini-riot on your hands.
If you
have
a Thrashers night, you'd be mocked by everybody.
Well, it's not just that, but the Jets fans are just so adamantly opposed to anything that reminds them that this isn't their team.
Mm-hmm.
That I just don't see a Thrashers night being viable.
Although half the team is still from the Thrashers. Like half that team played for there's a lot of guys who played for the Thrashers
sure.
in that squad.
But the vehemence that this is Winnipeg's team. They just want it to be theirs.
They want to gloss over the fact that they actually stole the team like Phoenix stole their team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just, yeah. just forget that entirely.
Yeah.
I would love to just go there and just me and Johnny just show up in Thrasher's gear and just cheer on the Thrashers.
You know, 2011 was the draft in Minneapolis.
Yep.
I wore a Thrashers jersey to that draft, and the Winnipeg fans were horrible. They were awful. Mm-hmm. They would stand around you and clap and yell in your face and basically just harass the hell out of anyone wearing anything Thrashers. And it was like physically intimidating the way they were clapping and yelling and like surrounding people. And so, I mean, I saw them do it to other people, and I like basically hid out in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them caught me, and I just was, it was terrifying.
Yeah, Winnipeg Jets fans are assholes.
Yeah.
Through and through. I don't care who you are. You're a bunch of jackasses.
And they were terrible during the draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were horrible. Like, while the draft was actually going on, mm-hmm. they were horrible. So.
To be fair, there's not much going on in the draft. I can't really fault them for that. But, I mean, like, you look at it, I would love to go there in Coyotes gear and a Thrasher's gear and just show up and then walk around.
Yeah.
So.
A big old Shane Doan jersey or something.
Yeah, exactly. Shane Doan. Shane Doan 19 jersey in the old school. Fun. Or Kachuk. Oh, Keith Kachuk.
Yeah.
If I wore a Keith Kachuk jersey, that'd be even better.
Yeah. Arizona is slowly erasing their Jets history.
Yeah.
Because now when they announce franchise records, mm-hmm. they actually mean Coyotes records.
Sure.
And I've corrected it like a couple times on Twitter. I'm like, no, I think you mean team.
But that goes to this now is are we in a Cleveland Browns situation? The Cleveland Browns records did not go with the Baltimore Ravens when they moved.
Right.
They stayed in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Are we reaching that point with the Jets now, where the Winnipeg Jets somehow absorbed the Jets record, stayed in Winnipeg through some back channel deal,
uh-huh.
and then the Coyotes are their own entity in themselves, and no one knew about it?
I think that's how they want it.
Mm-hmm. They, as in everyone involved, or
yeah,
okay,
yeah, because it makes it easier for them. It makes marketing easier, and the local fan base
more familiar.
Yeah. Like it's much easier to attract fans if you can just be the Coyotes,
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, have to mention a friend. Okay, he just set a new franchise record, breaking Dale Hawerchuk's record. You know, the original Winnipeg Jets. Like, fans are going to be like, what? So,
sure.
And I'm all for simplicity, but at the same time, like, I'm not a fan of obviously erasing your history.
Right.
Well, I think it's teachable moments, right? Like, Dougie Hamilton's out there wearing number 19. Mm-hmm. And rather than freak out and yell about how you're disrespecting Pi McKenzie, I don't think you are at all, to be honest. I think, to me, disrespecting a past player is a totally different thing than, you know, sharing the same number. Because the number is whatever.
Right.
You know?
Like, you almost have to slap that person in the face when right. you meet them at a gathering.
Right. Or, you know, say something stupid and rude about their play, mm-hmm. or their character, or whatever. To me, that's disrespect. Wearing their number is not necessarily. Now, if you're wearing their number and you're upchucking hungover on the ice, then yeah, that might
be. Yeah, that's a one-off, though. I mean, yeah. They're not doing it every game.
Right, but. You know, but to me, it's just, it could be a teachable moment. Like, oh, hey, Dougie Hamilton is wearing number 19, which was worn by Pi McKenzie. Let me tell you a little bit about what a cool guy and player Pi was.
For the New England Whalers that didn't exist in the NHL.
Well, and Jack is also a...
asshole.
Well, I was going to say Boston guy.
I think both apply. I think both one begets another.
So I was like, well, So I think that because he had a personal relationship with Pi, with McKenzie, that maybe that's where he went a little extra loop-de-loop.
Yeah, well, yeah, he puts himself in everything because he has to be the big deal.
Sure. But, I mean, McKenzie was a good player. But he was with Boston, and he was a great player there. And so...
And I mean, like, the New England Whalers didn't play in Hartford properly until towards the end. They were,
right.
Like, they've split the garden, I believe, with...
Yeah.
So, with the Bruins. So, I mean, it's like... That's a tip. I'm going to be interested to see what happens when they play in Boston this year with those Whalers jerseys.
Oh, Lord.
Because that's happening sometime down the road in February, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's going to be interesting to see what happens there, all honesty.
Yeah, no, I'm cool with relocated franchises honoring that pass. Mm. Like, Carolina having a Whalers night, that's fine with me, but I understand how that could be sensitive for fans who lost their team.
Right. That's right. It's fun for all the people who remember the Whalers who don't have a vested interest in them, technically.
Right.
So...
Yeah, so it feels like it somehow has to be done sort of delicately, but still fun at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is a really hard balance.
Sure.
So I mean, there was talk at one point of the Stars doing a North Stars night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious to see how that would go down because Minnesota fans still hate Norm Green.
Sure. Isn't he long dead?
He's dead, yeah.
I would rather them see, like, an Oakland Seals night for the Stars.
Or Barons.
Or Barons night.
Yeah. See, yeah. That's a complicated history with the, yeah, with the Stars. That's a super...
That's a fun history.
Yeah.
Because technically, the Seals are technically now the Sharks.
Yes.
The Guns bought the Seals and moved them to Cleveland, and then combined with the North Stars and then separated with the North Stars from the Barons, and then the Guns took half of it. So half the lineage of the Seals as the Sharks.
It's like a wadded up pair of your phones. It's just like, I don't know what's going on here, but it's all connected.
That's a night you can have, and it's fine because they played in the same arena.
Yeah.
So in the same area.
Yeah.
And no one remembers the Seals. Very few people remember the Seals unless you do some digging. But it also brings about, do you leave the history where you left it? Like, does the Quebec City, is it better that the Avalanche forget about the Nordiques so the Nordiques fans can't be pissy? Is it better for the Coyotes to have left the original Jet stuff in Winnipeg so if when they got a team?
I think with the Avs, you have an extra problem in the distance. And the language.
That's fair. Yeah.
So I think you have that extra barrier.
Right. Because it was a Francophone dominant team.
Yeah. And a Francophone dominant
area.
Area and fan base.
Yeah.
So having a Nordiques night would be a very difficult territory.
Mm-hmm. There was one time where when they went back, for some reason, the Avalanche went back and played a game in Quebec City. And then Sakic and Foote and Forsberg, who was still there, wore the Nordiques jersey and people cheered. Like, eh.
Yeah. Well, that's because, you know.
It was a closure thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would have been better if Sakic wore his number 88 like he did when he originally went to the team. Really make him forget about Lindros. But I don't know. But, like, what do you, like, does a franchise records have to move? Like, do... And how do you enforce people recognize? Because, like you said, the Avalanche slowly getting rid.
Mm-hmm.
Coyotes slowly building their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets not really caring about Atlanta.
Don't want it. They don't want to.
Right. So, but how, like, if for history preservation, like, how do you even enforce that? Or how do you make people care? Because it seems like not many people care about the Thrashers now. And that was less than a decade ago that they left.
Oh, the problem with the Thrashers is that they weren't a great team in any given season.
You could say the same for the original Jets.
But the original Jets had
the WHA.
The WHA, they had really, like, recognizable stars on a continual basis. Because they had Howe, and then they had Howerchuk, and then they had Solani, and
they
then
had Hull.
They had Hull, sorry.
Yeah.
Not Howe. I mean, there was just a progression.
Thrashers had Kolchuk. Thrashers had Healy. Thrashers had half the team that Bufflin's there now, like Blake Wheeler.
But does Kovalchuk really have the star power and the pulling power?
I would say so. Neither team got out of the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
So the parallel there, I think, is something.
And I think people just want proof that hockey's not going to succeed in the South. I mean, it's been how many years since Carolina came in?
97?
And people are still saying hockey's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. They forget Tampa.
Yeah.
Tampa tried to fail horribly.
Yeah. They tried to fire themselves and, you know.
A couple times.
Accidentally gave themselves a raise.
Right.
Texas is Dallas is fine.
You don't get the same vitriol about Dallas being a non-hockey market. You don't get the same vitriol that LA or Anaheim's not a hockey market.
You did once upon a time.
Sure. But I wonder why. I mean, because you can't say it's cups because Carolina's got a cup.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
it's failed twice in Atlanta. I can see why people would say don't give it back. Atlanta's a bad sports town. Atlanta is a bad pro sports town.
Yes.
They're a terrible pro sports town.
Yes. I would not trust any ownership group from Atlanta.
No. Unless Lil Jon was in it.
Now, if Lil Jon was involved in it, I would think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Just because he's so dedicated.
Right. But I mean, he's been there since the Omni era, like the Flames days. Like he has a story with it.
Yeah, he has pictures of himself at like 6 or 8 or whatever, like going to Flames games.
Right. Pat Quinn's there.
Yeah.
It's great. Everyone's having a time. But I mean, like, do you leave the history in where it belongs?
As a historian, I think accuracy is important. That being said, I will always track it as the Winnipeg Jets / Phoenix Coyotes franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I will always track it as the Atlanta Thrashers / Winnipeg Jets franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that accuracy is important. And it might not be important to the average fan. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
But it's important as a historian.
For record keeping.
For record keeping. Yeah. And it's an acknowledgement, and it's also drawing that line that these are different franchises and do have different lineages and histories.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's important to us hardcore historian types, but maybe not to anyone else.
It's kind of funny that the most points in a season and most goals in a season for the Coyotes is technically Teemu Selänne. It's funny to me that all the Winnipeg Jet records are Ilya Kovalchuk and Marian Hossa for most points in a season.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll never acknowledge it.
And I guess the question is, should they? To the victors write the history.
Well, and that's why historians are here.
Right.
To pick up the pieces and put them back in a better order.
Annoying assholes.
That too.
But I just the Winnipeg Jets fans kind of get under my skin, not as bad as some other fan bases, but the entitlement having won nothing is amazing.
I will say I've met a few nice Jets fans.
Oh sure, it's the same for Penguins fans. There's a few Penguins fans that I can stomach that aren't complete assholes.
Yeah.
But they've won something. They can be entitled. Yeah. The Jets haven't won. They as a franchise never got out of the first round until last year.
Right.
So, and that's including the 79 team.
Yeah. But I mean, just like based on some of the interactions I've had on Twitter and then like I said, 2011, like I am the thought of attending a Jets game as a fan kind of scares me. Just because my experiences with them have been so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like 2 hours away and I'm like,
And ticket prices are egregious. And that stadium seems, that arena seems small.
Well, it is small because it was built for the Moose. So, right.
I'd rather go see a Moose game before they move somewhere else.
Right.
Before they move them, I don't know. Yeah. Let's see them move to Fargo. That'd be something.
That would be.
Get the Force out of there.
Yeah.
Have bad sight lines for an AHL team.
Well, and their Jumbotron is like a couple of 48-inch widescreen TVs slapped together.
Yeah. Four quadrants together, and there's nothing hanging over the ice. It's like, man, this is weird.
No, they're at the end like it's a garage or something. Right. It's like just weird.
There's no Jumbotron. Well, it's not as bad as the Baltimore Arena, what they had to do. They had to do like an HD projection on the like side of the thing because the video board is just pixels.
Oh, Lord.
So, all right. So, if you have an opinion about this, let us know at SDRStromBubble on Twitter, and then we might entertain him or just bring him back for the next. I just want to screenshot this and then be like, I love these Jets, the Jets records.
Jets records.
Jets legend Ilya Kovalchuk. That's also my favorite thing to do is like Teemu Selanne, but like, Colorado Avalanche legend Teemu Selanne. Just to be an ass. Well, I think I used Detroit Red Wings legend Mike Modano once or twice.
Oh,
that's always one that I enjoy doing because that pisses off two fan bases.
Yeah, there are a couple players you can do that with.
Oh, there's a lot of players.
Like Bobby Orr, Blackhawks legend.
Atlanta Thrashers legend Keith Tkachuk. He's there for like 20 games.
New York Rangers legend Luke Robitaille.
Oh, yeah. Ellie, Pittsburgh Penguins legend Luke Robitaille. waiver wire legend Dmitry Kristich. He went back and forth. He was like the Stefan Beauregard of forwards almost in terms of people he backed and forth with the Kings and the Caps.
Yeah, and then you play a game of where's Mike Sillinger?
Right. It's called Haha Fuck You. It's on the football hockey show proper. All right, let's get to some cards. And I think I see, I see a Nordique card right on the back there.
And
we get to a North Stars card. Oh, Jesus. And it's North Stars and Jets. All right.
Okay.
So Geddy and Duchesne to start off with.
I don't think I have anything good about him.
Laurie Boschman.
He played on the original Suns team, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah.
Was he captain?
No, that was... Wait, he might have been.
Let's check.
Now I'm wondering. How do I look at the teams? What do I look at? Oh, there we go. Captains. I want to say it was Cunnyworth. Laurie Boschman was. How about that?
Knew it.
Laurie Boschman, then it was Bradshaw, one of three. So in 93-94, they had three captains. Bradshaw, Mark Lamb, and Gord Denis before Randy Cunnyworth got it. Oddly enough, Alexei Yashin only captained for a year.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I guess so. But over Randy, like, honestly, Randy Cunnyworth? Come on.
Well, I mean, if you look at the roster at the time.
Yeah, fair. Igor Larionov.
Somebody asked him once, like, what his game day routine was like and what he had for lunch and whatever. And he said he had, like, a glass of wine a day, usually, unless it was a game night and depended on hours and blah 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 whatever, but his lunch was basically like a salad and some greens and maybe like some rice or some pasta, but he didn't eat meat. It was just like the most sparse,
bland
pregame meal I could possibly think of, and that was what he ate every day.
Steve Smith.
No.
McInnes.
His slap shot got so strong because he hated doing chores and whatnot, and he would get them done, and he would stand on a piece of plywood, and he would just fire at the side of the barn or the building, and just like he'd sit there for like an hour or two at a time and just fire the puck. And so that's why there is a video of him breaking the boards.
There you go. Mike Ramsey.
Uh, He liked to do, I think, he had one of the ugliest helmets. Wasn't it Mike? Oh, no, it was Craig.
Yeah.
It was Craig Ramsey that had the ugly helmet. Mike Ramsey liked to do the donut prank with the paraffin wax. Okay, so the trainer's room, they use paraffin wax to do, like, heat treat tendons and whatever, like, feet and hands. And what you're supposed to do is, like, dip your hand in, like, 10 times and then wrap it up and, you know. Well, players like to use the bowl of heated wax for other purposes. And so they would take a donut and dip it in the paraffin wax.
Oh, that's nasty.
And then let it dry and would look like a glazed donut.
That's terrible. Adam Oates.
Adam Oates. dropped out of high school and then got into RPI.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Guy Carboneau.
Brendan Murrow's father-in-law.
Yeah. Was his coach, too, I think, at one point. And teammate.
Yeah, Brendan Murrow was like, yeah, I'm really... I thought he was going to rip my legs off when he asked to marry...
Sure.
Yeah.
Chris Traeri.
Chris Traeri. I want to say there was something about him and the national team.
U.S. national team?
Yeah.
He was actually one of the first goaltenders to use a water bottle in the back of his net. Providence College.
Yeah,
it was him and the Flyers goalie who played, I can't remember the Flyers goalie's name, in the 80s.
Well, let's look it up.
I wrote a thing about it, too, so...
I remember Glenn Sather was very upset when they started that in the NHL.
Oh yeah,
but okay. Oh, I clicked on the picture instead.
There you go.
Scott Gordon.
There you go, Scott Gordon. And then there was a Flyers goalie who did it that Glenn Sather got pissed off about because of it was during the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Flyers and
Islanders.
Oilers. Yeah, Flyers and Oilers.
Was it the Oilers?
Yeah, because Glenn Sather was...
Glenn Sather, so obviously, yeah. Yeah, and Glenn Sather was like, well, what's next? Should we put out a bucket of fried chicken out there?
Yeah, his big thing was that he didn't think it was tethered to the net, but the goalie had it Velcroed to the net. And it'll come to me here in a second, because it was 87 they played in the Cup Final. Bob Ferozzi, that's who it was. Bob Ferozzi had the water bottle on his net.
Yeah.
Mike Tomalak.
I don't even know who that is.
He's a Hartford Whaler player. He's a legend. He was honored on that day. Oh, collector's choice card. Beautiful card of the TFer himself, Mr. Brian Bellows. Lays on the ice like a broad, Bellows. Any big thing on Brian Bellows?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, there's that kind of gross video of him being taunted.
Well, yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
The Brian Trottier, Kevin Stevens.
Yeah.
Thing. Lay on the ice like a broad, Bellows. You're a TF for Bell. I don't know why that's a disrespectful thing. Like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. Lucien Dubois. From the Quebec Nordiques.
No.
Not a surf.
No. Do you know Brian Bellows is the... he's working for the Wild now.
Really?
Weird. Mm. Director of Corporate Partnerships.
Oh, so he's not even like in a hockey role.
No.
I hit a VP role. Good for him. Another Devils goalie. Sean Burke.
Sean Burke. They tried him out as a... They had like a segment. They tried him out as like a talking head on for Hockey Night in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it was him and someone else in these armchairs. And the angle was kind of weird. And so it made Sean Burke look even more scarecrow-y than he is. Because he's just like lanky. Like,
he's very lofty.
Like he's very all like long arms and legs.
Yeah.
And so it was this really weird angle. And the segment just kind of fell flat and
shocking,
and lasted, I think, like one time. Yeah.
Dave Christian
of the Christian clan, stick makers.
Mm-hmm.
Olympian.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture of him roller skating.
Okay. It's not really a fun fact.
Well, the team, the Olympic team.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're all out, like, disco roller skating.
There you go.
In matching team jackets.
Sure, why not? Mike Modano. Detroit Red Wings legend Mike Modano.
I have a picture of him back in his teenage years. So this would be what?
Late '80s.
Bantams?
Yeah, mid-80s then.
What comes after major juniors?
It's bantam, midget, then major junior usually.
Okay. That must be midget or major junior, or close to. But anyway, he's got like these really chubby cheeks and he's smiling and you can see braces. And he claims that the braces were his mom's idea. And his mom says, no. He followed me around begging to get braces. So
weird.
Yeah, apparently, even at that age, he was
so into himself.
Yeah.
We can't wear a hat on our head properly draft photos, John Slaney.
Oh, no.
Former, I think he scored the game-winning goal in one of the World Juniors in Calgary. So, number 31, Ed Belfour, who changed his number after his rookie year.
I mean, there's lots of things that people already know about Ed, so I don't know what I could really add. He's from a little tiny town called Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
And his family wasn't particularly well off. And his first job as a teenager anyway, was working in an auto shop.
Joe Noondike.
His mother. His mother. When they won the cup in 89.
Yeah.
They couldn't get out of the forum in the bus because of all of the traffic and stuff. His mom figured it out. Stood out in Montreal traffic, basically trying to like block them off and like wave the bus through. Mm-hmm. And she had like hockey sticks in her hands.
Jesus.
And so she's out there like trying to block Montreal traffic. And if you've been in Montreal,
it's just nothing but.
Yeah. And trying to let the bus get through. So,
Craig Muni.
Nothing too good.
Okay. Murray Craven.
No.
David Volek.
Oh, I just read something about him the other day, and it'll come to me like 20 minutes after we're done here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brian Leach.
No. He's actually kind of boring. Mm-hmm. I've tried to look up stuff on him before, and he's just kind of there.
Yeah.
I don't know how to... which is weird, because, I mean, he's so active on the ice, right? But his personality is just, like...
dry. Milk toast.
Yeah.
Bill Ranford.
Hang on one second. I think this is him. I have to make sure.
We have a checklist as our last one, so there's no player on there, so we will go ahead and...
just pick one?
Either pick one or just take a pass.
Okay.
By the sounds of it, we'll take a pass, because this is supposed to be a quick-fire round. And...
okay. I was right. It was Ranford. I just had to
confirm.
So he was playing for Tampa Bay. And,
oh, the lean late 90s.
And, you know, they were not having a great time.
No.
And they lost at a home game. And then the owner, Art Williams, shows up. Like, he just barges into the locker room. And he starts yelling at Ranford, just, you know, you're a disgrace. Your performance is horrible. This is just inexcusable. Yeah, I mean, just, like, going up one side, down the other. And then he stops for breath. And then Ranford said, Mr. Williams, I didn't play tonight. So.
Nice. Always good.
He just stood there and took it and then just very politely said,
hey, listen, it wasn't
that
me,
wasn't
bro.
Me.
Not me, bro. Sorry. All right. That'll do her. People can find you.
NHL History Girl.
Find me at Scotty Wilds. Find the show at SDR Strum Bubble. Part of the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. Powered by Blog Talk Radio. Patreon.com/FaceOffHockeyShow. You can be like the tons of people who are contributing to us by pumping some money to us. Getting that sweet, sweet cashola, which we really haven't cashed out yet. We're kind of building it until we can figure out a way how to work this into one of our bank accounts and then divvy it up for the year. I should probably do that sooner or later. Maybe.
It has a purpose.
It does have a purpose. It's going back into like travel costs. It's going into show stuff and things of that ilk. So you can be like Chris or Mitch or Matthew or Ethan or Damon or Kevin or Jeff or Mark or Trista or Brian and Angela and Sean. They're all contributing money, helping us out. You can help us out too. Patreon.com/FaceOffHockeyShow. We're going to have a secret show sooner or later. It's just a matter of getting all of us together. The P-Boys and I. Together for the our next one. We decided it's going to be the top five goals in the playoff run for the Capitals.
Oh,
top five meaningful goals.
You guys just want an excuse to watch the games.
Well, because we got into an argument about that, like which goal meant more, and everyone's just like, "No, Lars Eller's game three." I'm like, "It went off his ass. That can't be fucking.
That can't
How
be your
that meaningful. That was win 1 of 16. But he didn't get that. No, it doesn't matter if he didn't get that." Like, that's an honorable mention at the least. Like, meaningful goals. Like, for me, Kuznetsov's goal meant everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's number one goal for the 2018. But we'll talk about that. I'm sure soon once we get all our stuff together. I'll pick an empty net goal as number two. That empty net goal was so meaningful.
I've seen people say that on Twitter, and I'm just like, the hell?
I don't know. You can't take an empty net goal for granted. Look at Patrick Stephan. We can't take those for granted anymore. All right. That's it. That's all for Jen. I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Soderstrom Bubble. I've probably already done this already. Repeating myself.
Yep.
I got to go to bed. I got to work overnights. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Happy New Year. Let's see you next time through. Bye.